RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
So too the Tasman District Council's heavy-handedness around a tiny home on wheels on Christian Schaffner's property and the cost of going head-to-head with the council. Kristen is with us now on RCR. Kristen, thanks for coming on.
Thank you very much for having me.
Okay, tiny home. Let's get this spatially in our minds. How tiny is tiny? What qualifies as a tiny home?
That's a good question. I think it's a, well, let's stick to the tiny house on wheels. So you have got your traditional little trailer unit. It's with the NZTI. You've got light trailer standards, I think, up to 12, including the attachment. So I think, well, our situation is 8-something meters and 2.50 wide.
So like about the size of a container, shipping container, maybe a 40-foot container, something. Or smaller than that.
That's smaller than that, yeah.
Oh, well, that is tiny. Okay, I think we've got that in our head. All right, tell us about your tiny home on wheels then. Did you build it yourself or with someone else, or did you buy it in? I'm just trying to, again, imagine this thing on wheels, right? A tiny home on wheels. How did you get to that?
Well, it's not ours. Well, we are a family of five living on this rural property here in Tasman, and we were looking for someone to complement, basically, our family. And so a friend told me about another lady who had been building a tiny house on wheels herself.
Yep.
And this is how we got to know her, and then we said, well, let's just give it a go.
Okay, so how did the council become involved then, Kristen?
Well, that was in January 2022. They were sending an email that landed up in the spam folder, and resend that email in March 2022 when we actually received that. So they informed us that there was a complaint that needed to be investigated, a complaint that there would be an unconsented dwelling on our land.
So a tiny house on wheels is an unconsented dwelling, is it, in the eyes of the law?
Well, that's the big dispute, I guess. So in our view, it's not a building or dwelling because it's mobile and it's not fixed to the land. However, in council's view, it is.
Well, then you could say a long-wheel-based RV or a caravan was a dwelling that needs to be consented, couldn't you?
Yes, exactly. That would be exactly the same issue, yes.
All right. So then what happened? There was a visit, wasn't there? Or maybe more than one visit?
So in 2022, so they started off with writing and we responded, and then there was a bit of forwards and backwards writing. And then instead of responding to our last correspondence from April, they just decided, well, we just come around unannounced, and this is what they did in June. And then we said, no, that's not going to work. You're going home and respond to the letter first. And so they then decided, well, we just come back with a search warrant. And that's what they did in August 2020.
Wait on, a search warrant? That's gone to the police level now and a court to assign the warrant.
Well, we are not quite sure whether it was authorised by the court or a JP. So there are a few JPs in New Zealand who have a special schooling or course that they attend in order to be able to authorise search warrants. And that could be a JP or a court. We don't know yet because the name has been withheld.
Oh, withheld. What, for what reason, do you think? To give you a good reason for that?
Well, I think it was privacy of a person or protection from harassment. So it's currently sitting with the ombudsman.
So harassment? I mean, privacy, if you sign up to be a JP, you're out there in the public anyway. So forget your privacy. You've signed that away pretty well. But to think that, what was the second thing you mentioned there? Harassment.
Yeah, improper pressure or harassment.
And was there any of that?
Well, I don't think there was because I don't even know any. Well, now I do know a few JPs who have the authorization to issue search warrants.
Yeah. But
back in the day.
But were they being harassed? Was there any possibility they would be harassed? Obviously,
no.
he was anticipating that.
Well, I think what I've learned ever since is that usually that provision can be used in terms of, sensitive drug issues where people then feel for their safety when they issue a search warrant against someone who has criminal intentions. But I don't think that was the case in our case now.
Yeah, so you said basically go back to the office, answer the letters, and we can take it from there, which is what sounds like the normal, reasonable procedure. So what was the search warrant issued for? You just mentioned drugs before. Was it under the Misuse of Drugs Act that it was issued?
No, it was issued under the Resource Management Act. So it was issued to any officer of the Tasman District Council when in accompaniment by New Zealand Police for any place or structure, I think it's called, on our property. So they could unroot trees if they wanted to. So it was a very wide scope of that search warrant.
It's very concerning, isn't it?
Yeah, very much so. So this is why we were very, very concerned, even on the day, because we were greeted by two police officers on the day, and they informed us that we are now being detained for the purpose of the search, and the search had already begun before we were even made aware of that search happening, because the tiny house is parked about 100 metres away from our main dwelling, so at the beginning of the property, right at the beginning of the driveway, really. And we were like, this doesn't make any sense. You just come here, you just give us a piece of paper. It was actually four pieces of paper. They were not stapled, they were not dated. It was just like, what is that? Where does that come from? And why are you detaining us? And who are these people there on my land? And so they would not be very, well, they were not very engaging in that sense. So they told me if I was going to go anywhere near the search, I would be arrested, end of the story. So we were not provided with the names of those that did the search, really.
Okay, so it sounds like they thought they could just walk all over you, Christian. Just walk all over you and take full control of your own property and kind of do the police state thing on you. Tell us about the complaints process you've been through and where, at what stage are you at there?
So it all started really on that day itself. So when they left, they came in the morning, I think it was around 10. And when they left, it was very short, like 15 minutes max. And they left and I was like, we're going to the police straight away. This is just beyond belief. So we packed the little one, she was a year then, and went to the police station, the nearest police station, about 50 minutes away from us, and said, what has just happened? Why did you participate in a search on our property? What was going on? What did we do, and why were we detained? And they're like, oh, you know, it's not a police search warrant. You have to talk to the courts or the council. And also, if you want to obtain the original search warrant document, you have to go to the council or the courts. So after that, we went straight to the council and said, well, you know, I filed an official complaint. I hand wrote it because it was just happened and I didn't have the means for, you know, just sitting up in front of my computer. So I wrote it in handwriting and said, I've never had anything to do with you. All the letters were sent to my husband. And here I am, I've been detained, my little one's a year, and I had already filed a complaint with you earlier in regards to that unannounced visit and the behavior that I consider highly disrespectful. You have never commented on that complaint whatsoever, and now you're detaining us. What is going on? And to this day, I have never received a formal response to that letter.
Wow. No. Okay. Just even a polite, you know.
No, no.
Sorry you feel that way. See you later. Not even that.
Yeah, and it took a year. It took us a year to finally get to the application of the search warrant. So, and we had to go through, I don't know, started off with calling the courts, going to the court several times, writing emails, and finally writing official document requests to the court. It was a long, long story.
Okay, so where does that leave you right now?
So what happened is the judgment came through from the court at the, 31st of July. Mm. And the judge found that the tiny house on wheels was actually fixed to land. We believe that's not what it is. And so we had to file, we chose to file an appeal to the High Court. And so that was registered at the beginning of September. And then now it's really logistics. When is the hearing and who files what? And so, you know.
How could the judge decide it's fixed to the land if it's just sitting on wheels?
Yeah, so I think what comes in there is a very difficult situation. You know, I'm German, so we have a very different law system. Here in New Zealand, you have a mixture of legislation coming from New Zealand, but also from the UK and the rest of the Commonwealth. So
yeah, common law, yeah.
Yeah, so and so we have a lot of case law coming from the UK, high up in the UK, but this is not naturally binding to New Zealand. So unless New Zealand courts have found on a particular problem, it is regarded helpful or guidance, but it's not regarded legally binding. And so this is where things become really difficult. And so sometimes I do not envy the judges for having to look so very far throughout the Commonwealth to understand who has looked into what and what's the common ground for New Zealand, but what is it that we are different here? So I think that's a very difficult legal reality. And I think quite a lot of stress is on a court like the New Zealand Environment Court, which is actually quite a small specialty court, like a very confined area. However, with very wide discretion, be it the costs or the procedures. And yes, and those laws or case laws really coming from elsewhere and how to evaluate them.
So you're fighting for all the tiny homes on wheels owners of the world of New Zealand right now?
Well, I don't know. But I think our main, our personal fight, is it fight? I don't know. But our personal journey is really the upholding of democratic principles, which is right to privacy, the right to natural justice. Because if you have an objection, then surely the other party needs to comment on that objection. So, and I think the tiny house issue really is, in my worldview, a no-brainer because we have this huge housing crisis.
Yeah, I know.
you know?
And, hello, yeah.
You know, and what I also see, and it was actually not me who really saw that first, but there's a very educated man who said to me, you know, look, historically, people used to live in mobile homes, caravans, for a very long time because it was not an option for them to own land. It's only in recent times that people owned land and could build on their land. And in more recent times, it's become unaffordable for a huge proportion of people, be it the divorced, be it the young families, the elderly, you know, it's huge. And also, you know, what I often hear in interviews is, it's all about subdivisions and it's all about infrastructure. But this is only just a very small picture of New Zealand lifestyle, as far as I'm concerned. There's a huge community out there who lives on rural properties, has got a lot of land and has not an issue whatsoever to share that. And to come back to the more community side of things where costs are increasing, how about we share them and how about we just give each other a hand because this is really what New Zealand is all about. It's really community oriented. And that seems to be forgotten in all these very broad discussions about the housing crisis and infrastructure and subdivisions, because I don't think the whole subdivision is so much appealing to the standard New Zealander, you know?
You're challenging the model. And that model includes a business model that stands behind it as well. And when you've got councils, as you have in New Zealand, that are well in debt and are worried about the rate base going forward, they, you know, they come in for you. You know, it's part of the beast of the machine, I suppose. Anyway, fascinating hearing your story. And let's wait and find out what happens with the appeal. And maybe we can talk some more. Christian, thanks for coming on.
Thank you very much for having me. Bye-bye.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas. From great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers and more, the RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.